And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Hey, that's me. Good to be with you on this Thursday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Get that stream up and going here as well. Just a few on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Little national, little local, little bit of column A, little bit of column B here today on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You may or may not know that today is draft day, kind of a big deal for all of the NFL fans out there. We'll talk some Vikings draft as Matthew Collar from Purple Insider. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, and also we'll travel out west to Edmonds County, and we'll bring in Todd Thorson, the Ipswich track and field as well as cross country coach. He'll be joining us coming up in the next 10 to 15 minutes on the program there as well. Looking forward to that conversation there with him. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. Happy draft day. How are you?
Doing good, man. Happy draft day. Interested to see what happens.
Very, very big day for all the NFL fans out there. You're going to hear a lot of this. Yeah, that's the old draft sounder.
I heard a good remix with that, like a DJ club mix. Like somebody used that and then just went into a beat.
Oh, really?
I thought it was just really interesting and really cool how somebody can just do everything with beats like that. I thought that was really neat.
The internet is undefeated.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'll be interested to see what happens. I think everybody knows who's going number one, but I think from 2 to 10, you really don't know who's going to be picked. You don't know what New England's doing at 3. Mm-hmm. Are they trading down? Are they going to pick a quarterback? They got a lot of needs. Do they say, hey, we need a right tackle. We need a wide receiver. We don't need a quarterback right now. That's going to be the big story, I think, of the draft, what New England does. And honestly, we were talking about yesterday, where's J.J. McCarthy going? Is mm-hmm. he going to be 5? Is he going to be slip down to the middle of the first round? Is somebody going to trade up to get him? I think those are really the two big storylines of this draft.
And from us here and the Sports Hub perspective, the local, if that's the right word to describe it, the regional perspective, the Minnesota Vikings, were in Vikings territory. What do the Vikings do? Do they go quarterback? Do they go somewhere else? What does this mean for Justin Jefferson? He's going to be in a big contract scenario here, not in the distant future here. But first and foremost, you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown making more money than God yesterday. So that's going to be kind of a baseline, I would think, for Justin Jefferson and maybe even my guy, DK Metcalf, coming up in the not-too-distant future, which, by the way, is a segue, and we'll get to him in the jump in just a few.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. The Justin Jefferson angle is very interesting, considering the fact that if they go into the season with Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback, why would he want to sign? So you got to maybe bring in a quarterback that he's excited about. And you mentioned the Amon-Ra St. Brown contract. What was it, 77 guaranteed?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the baseline. He's going to be like, all right, he got 77. I want at least 80 or more than that. And a guy like DK Metcalf is probably thinking the same exact thing. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this is going to be one of those drafts where you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks get drafted, and for the Minnesota Vikings, I think they got to get one because they lost Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold. You might say, he's a bridge quarterback, but you know, I just don't think he can be the starter next year, week one. He can't do it.
There's nothing wrong with a bridge quarterback, and I understand people that say Sam Darnold is not the guy going forward, and he's not. No one thinks that Sam Darnold is going to be the guy that's going to come out and somehow Rich Gannon his way or real. Recently, Geno Smith his way to a second contract or
sure
something
thing.
Like that. Probably not going to happen. But, you know, he is a pro. He is a journeyman. You can draft a young guy, have him learn behind Sam Darnold for, I don't know, a couple weeks. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, the fans start chirping a little bit. Oh, we're 2-4. Let's see what we got in the young buck. So only time will tell. And looking forward to our draft conversation coming up here towards the bottom of the hour. Matthew Collar, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Todd Thorson in just a few with the Tigers there, of course, of Ipswich track and field as well as cross country. Kind of a potpourri of the Sports Hub here today with my main man,
Mr. Unlimited,
here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Let's go ahead and toss this thing into the air for this Thursday installment of The Jump. And I mentioned DK Metcalf here. And if you've been on social media, you've seen this story quite a bit that DK Metcalf, I'm guessing, was at some local high school, just kind of working out here a little bit, working on some drills and just getting loose, staying in shape as the offseason continues to progress here. And there was apparently a bunch of high schoolers outside of the high school football stadium, naturally. And one of them starts chirping at DK Metcalf, this little snot-nosed kid, probably, I don't know, 14, 15, 16 years old. He'd probably 15 or 16. And he is saying, Jalen Ramsey's your dad. DK Metcalf handled it, I would say, with as much class as you could ask. But Sean Merriman, of course, he used to play for the San Diego Chargers back in the day. And I say San Diego Chargers because he played for the San Diego Chargers. He didn't play for the Los Angeles Chargers, so he played for the San Diego Chargers. So Sean Merriman, former San Diego Charger, says, hey, it's getting worse and worse out here. I couldn't imagine approaching any pro athlete like this growing up. It would have been a privilege just to meet them and ask questions. Great job, DK Metcalf, in handling this. Pretty wild.
Yeah, he did a really good job handling it. I like his response, the who are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. But, yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, if you would see somebody like that growing up, you know, you're 14, 15 years old, that's one of your heroes, and the first thing you say is, Jalen Ramsey's your dad? Really? DK Metcalf handled that as good as you can. You know, obviously you don't want to say too much to a high school kid. He just kind of let it slide and made a little joke and moved on. But that's this age now, I guess, of fans where you see somebody, a professional athlete, and you got to make some joke like that.
Why is that? Why do people do this?
It happens way too much.
It's apparently social media clout. And I responded to Sean Merriman's tweet. Probably not going to respond, but I said it starts in the home. It starts with mom and dad. If I did this to, I don't know, let's see, I was growing up in the 90s, early 2000s in Chicagoland. If I did this with, I don't know, Jim Miller or Eric Kramer or somebody like this, and I started talking crap to them, the second my parents, if they saw this sort of thing on the internet, which was just in its infancy stages that way back in the day, I'd come home, they'd probably wash my mouth out with soap.
Yep.
You know, if your mom and dad are not laying down the law at home, you get little piss ants like this kid. I mean, it's like, what is this kid doing? Oh, look at me, everyone. I'm on social media. Just DK Metcalf, I'm surprised he handled it as well as he did. Good on him.
Yeah, good on him is right. And you see it way too much with somebody, you know, they get the camera out and be like, oh, let's see if we can make a video that goes viral. And
yeah,
certainly it did go viral. But what it's going viral for is the right reason, the way DK Metcalf handled the situation. That's why it's going viral. Like, this is how you want to act at the professional level. I think that's why, you know, you're seeing it as much as you are on social media.
No question. But I would say, mom, dad,
be better.
Be better. Back home, for sure. Also, moving on to the National Football League here as well, I saw this. You are a golf fan. I am a golf fan. Dan Campbell was apparently interviewed, and he was referencing golf or something like that. His response to Jared Goff, saying golf would be too slow for Dan Campbell to play. Dan Campbell said, hey, listen, as long as there's beer, I would never get bored with golf. And I thought to myself, one of us.
Yeah, one of the people. I'm there for that. That's awesome. As long as there's beer, Dan Campbell will see you there in the golf course.
It's like that scene in Wolf of Wall Street. All the guys are around the table. One of us. One of us. Google, goggle, one of us.
I got your Twitter up. I saw that.
Yeah, I love that. That's good stuff. And, oh, by the way, don't forget, coming up later on today on Fox Sports Aberdeen, it is getaway day for the Twins. They'll be taking on the Chicago White Sox 12-10, and I said, bare minimum, you got to win at least 3 out of 4 against the Chicago White Sox. So far, so good. They're going for the sweep here today. But I was on Outkick.com this morning, and one of the headlines just read, what is even the point of the Chicago White Sox? I just had to share that.
Well, I was just going to say, how bad can you be? I mean,
pretty bad.
Wow, 3-21 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They haven't even competed really all season. They got walked off earlier this week. That was the closest it seemed like they've come to winning a game. But Twins, we talked about it last week with Brandon Warnes. Like, this next little stretch here, they got the Angels for 3, and then they play the White Sox again. So you could probably be over 500 by what is it, May 1st? So
it's not possible.
Not too bad, but yeah, this White Sox team, I don't know what we're doing with them. I mean, is their farm system any good? No one knows. It just seems like they are just in some deep trouble right now.
Twins are 7-13. It's time to press the panic button. Hey, good for what ails you. Play the White Sox. And now they're knocking on the doorstep of 500. And then, like you mentioned, Angels after that. And then the Sox again on the south side. So a good opportunity for them to kind of get right here and get back into the mix in the AL Central. And speaking of the Angels, I saw a wild stat that Mike Trout has got, what, 10 home runs this season? He's got 14 runs batted in.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's all solo home runs.
All solo home runs, and he's healthy for the first time, it seems like, in a long time. Doesn't it always seem like he's getting hurt?
He's got something.
He's got something, you know, a little boo-boo here and there. This time it seems like he's finally healthy, and the Angels, I mean, they're a sub-500 team right now. And that's what also is crazy to be with the Angels. Like, they got Mike Trout. They got Anthony Rendon, who's a World Series champion. They bring in, like, big names. They had Ohtani for a while, and they just never made the playoffs. Like, how is that even possible?
Well,
the division, probably.
Yeah, it's not like the NBA when you can have one superstar player that can completely change the course of a franchise. Baseball, a little bit different. You got to have more depth. And felt like they had the depth, but I guess not. And it hasn't worked out for them.
No. And good to see Mike Trout, though, playing well. Everybody considers him the best player in baseball, including myself. And he's a lot of fun to watch.
Dude is a stud, that's for sure. Speaking of studs, a friend of the program, Todd Thorson, Ipswich Track and Field and Cross Country. He'll join us next. Happy Thursday. We're on the back half of our work week. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. The back nine, as it were. Matt McClure's over here having problems with his headphones. What's going on over there? You good?
Yeah, I'm good now.
You going to make it?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have any coffee this morning?
No.
No coffee?
No coffee for me this morning. Yeah.
That's
gutsy. It's a bold play.
Yeah, I got mine over here.
I've been pretty good. I've been drinking a good amount of coffee, you know, probably because I'm going to be on a couple airplanes today. I don't want to be jittery and stuff like that.
Man, I hate to fly. Worst thing for me would be on a plane with too much caffeine. Just, oh, I don't know. I don't know what's going on right now. I'll never forget. I was on a plane. I can't recall where we were going, but there was a woman sitting next to me and just freaking out, and I am not a good flyer, and she was just like, this is not right, this is not supposed to be happening, what's going on, what's going on? And
I'm that is not good.
Oh, I tell you what, I was the one that had to calm her down, and when that was like the deaf leading the blind. It was brutal, but I made it happen, and I was the whole time I'm just screaming inside. I'm like, oh, what's going on? But that's a whole nother story. Todd Thorson, head coach of the Ipswich Track and Field and Cross Country squad, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Coach, are you a big coffee guy, and do you like to fly? And also, thanks for joining us.
I like coffee, yes, and I do like to fly. I actually, my father owned Thorson Aviation growing up, so flying's a big part of our family, I guess.
Wow, good for you. That's amazing. I never got into it, even from a young age. It always freaked me out.
Well,
afraid of heights.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm flying all the time, though, because I got family back out east, so, you know, I'm so used to it by now, which is... You know, I wasn't at one time. I was nervous back then, but, you know, I'm good now.
All right. Well, we got two guys that are pros and a fraidy cat here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But Coach Thorson, of course, a friend of the program. We're going to talk some track and field and cross country here in just a second. But first and foremost, I got to ask you, Coach, because we're not that far off from, you know, warmer weather consistently. Aberdeen Aqua Addicts, that's going to be here in the not-too-distant future, right? Are you guys kind of getting revved up for that?
Yeah, we've had several practices indoors, practicing our skit and theme stuff, our climbing, and, you know, we've got another one scheduled this Sunday. We're meeting at the Gymnastics Association, so if anybody wants to get involved, come on out at 1 o'clock and learn how to climb pyramids. So we put the ropes out there, and then we learn how to keep them tight and keep it safe so everybody falls out the back. And then with our skit and theme, we have dances that we do, like a final dance, you know, like to send everybody off, and our ballet line does dances. So we do a lot of indoor stuff, and I'm sure we'll have kids skiing as early as probably next week looking at the forecast. So yeah, it's going to be fun. And we host the Midwest Regionals last week in July. 11 teams coming, and we'll have over 600 of the best skiers in the Midwest coming. So it's going to be a great, great year for us.
Yeah, we were talking about that last summer and how excited you were to host that thing here this year. So looking forward to that in the not-too-distant future. And also of note with the Aberdeen Aqua Addicts, the last, I think, 2 years, or at least season and a half or so, your theme was Dumb and Dumber. So what's the theme this year? You got another, a different kind of theme up your sleeve there a little bit?
Yeah, we're doing Top Gun, the ski academy. So it's a water ski academy that you go to become the best of the best. And we're still going to have Goose and Maverick. And like even at the very end, we're going to have Maverick in the playing the piano, and we're going to be doing a final dance. It's a really cool little thing. And so we're running through a Top Gun theme, but it's the Top Gun Water Ski Academy. So our missions will be to learn how to climb a pyramid and become better skiers over the jump. And, you know, obviously there's like, I think we have a volleyball skit we're thinking about doing, and, you know, we're working on the comedy. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. It's we've already got our t-shirts ready to go, and we got cadet uniforms because it's an academy for the guys. And we've already got our stage and props and our backdrop. We've got that all designed and ready to go. So yeah, it's going to be a good summer.
Can't wait for that. And I got to drop in this, Matt, really, just really quick, just because he's talking Top Gun. You know, anytime we talk well, about Top Gun, I got to drop in the music, man. It's just the best. Yeah. Probably going to get sued, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, the music is the part that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Love it.
I got a good idea for the volleyball. You know, the volleyball. Yeah. You could do water polo or something like that.
Yeah, water polo.
That could be pretty fun, though. You know, you get the group playing water polo. That would be that's a good idea, I think, for like the volleyball scene, to add that little comedy aspect to it.
You got to credit Matt McClure in your program, though. You have to.
Yeah, and then you play that song "Playing with the Boys." Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's what's gonna make the whole show great. You know, the piano is the great balls of fire at the very end. And it's a fun little way to send people off, and that's a great water polo. That might happen. So. Yeah.
Just thinking on my feet.
Yeah, brilliant.
Send us ideas, people. Send us ideas, because we're still putting it all together. So that's great.
For sure. And now let's get into the track and field season here at Ipswich. You know, how things been going here this season. I know the weather's been, you know, kind of hit or miss, but how's it been going?
Well, you know, we lost a ton of really good seniors. You know, and the boys won the state track meet last year, and I'm thinking it's the same way every year. How do you replace that leadership? But, man, we've had unbelievable leadership, and these kids are working really hard. And I would say training-wise, we're ahead of where we were last year. The kids are fit, and our girls' team's really coming around, and that's due to the really good leadership and the trust in the training, and, you know, that's a big part of the whole process. And, you know, we've got several people on the leaderboard. I'd say it's been a pretty good start training wise. We've only had two outdoor meets, and it's looking like Saturday doesn't look all that great for us. So we might only have two meets for sure right before Howard Wood, that big track meet that we try to tune up for. So, I kind of got both ends, a little frustrated with the weather, and it just as far as track meets go, we've had good training days, but the days we've had track meets, we've had quite a few canceled. So, you know, it's kind of any other sport. You have your ups and downs, and you just try to think positive and keep moving forward.
Yeah, it looks like there's going to be some more downs than ups this weekend with really kind of crummy weather and unseasonably cold weather with 50s and 40s and rain and everything like that. That's all the last time we're going to talk about weather. We don't want to catch more strays from Mike Schmidt, you know, telling us how negative about the weather. Sorry, Coach, but big shout out to Mike Schmidt. He joined us here in studio yesterday. Fun conversation with him. Todd Thorson is the head coach of Ipswich Track and Field and Cross Country. He joins us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Had the Rob Lookie invite here earlier on this week. That was on Tuesday, if memory serves. And speaking of your boys, of course, like you mentioned, a great season for them last year. Finished in second place collectively out of 16 teams. What'd you see in particular from your guys out there on Tuesday?
Well, we're kind of in our base training, and you know, we had a good conversation. I don't bring it up ahead of time. I just kind of see how they react. But we go into the Rob Lukey extremely tired and sore. We ran them really hard on Saturday, and we even had a bonus 350 timed at the end because they just looked mentally ready to break them down even farther. And not one kid complained the entire track meet. I didn't have a single boy say anything. And they went out there, and I could tell we were flat, but they still performed really well because you got to focus on effort. And then it's kind of a simulator, like you got to get through 3 days at the state track meet. So how do you simulate that? You got to kind of train through a couple track meets where things just don't feel right. And then, you know, like when you get to the state meet, you're on day three and everything's sore. And then you're actually, that's the day that you're racing for a state title. So, So I wanted them to feel that. And, they passed with flying colors. It was just a phenomenal effort. And, you know, you focus on attitude and effort. I'm not overly concerned about times because the times will take care of themselves, or even the jumps. Like, did you prepare well? Did you do everything technically that we were asking you to do? Did you, you know, were you in attack mode? And I felt like they A-plus effort on the day for the boys. And, you know, the girls probably struggled a little bit more on the mental side, but man, they performed really well too. So I'd say we're ready to run really fast if we could ever get a track meet that has some decent weather.
No kidding.
For sure. Would you say that kind of effort and attitude type thing that you were talking about, that's all mindset? Can you just speak on that? Because it seems like the mindset of your squad is very good. Can you just speak on that?
Yeah, you know, like anything you do in life, you know, you got to have goals, and then, you know, you want to have things that you need to do to obtain those goals, and, you know, working hard to achieve. And, you know, we talk about that, and by having goals, it gets you motivated to do everything right and push through, you know, maybe being a little uncomfortable. So we talk about that a lot, you know, about, you know, your attitude and efforts, really all you can control in anything in life. And you know, whether it's good weather or bad weather, or, you know, you relate it to school. You know, maybe you studied really hard and didn't get a good grade. Well, you evaluate, you know, what you did that day, and then you try to improve on it. Yesterday I told the kids, whether you're first place or last place at a track meet or even in the state meet, it's no different to me. You know, what did we do good? What did we do that wasn't so good? And then how can we improve to get better? Because, you know, improving at whatever it is that you want to do or like to do feels good on the inside. I mean, medals are kind of like outside stuff, but if we really want to feel good on the inside out, you know, improvement is just a huge part of that, whether it's your physical health, your mental health, or track and field or school or just anything in life. It's a good way to just talk about how to approach things. And so we kind of approach track and field as a big lesson in life. I would say they're doing very well in getting that whole process.
I'm kind of chuckling to myself. You mentioned the fact that maybe sometimes you study hard for an exam and you don't do very well. I'm kind of pointing myself on that, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds pretty familiar. Todd Thorson, head coach of Ipswich Track and Field and Cross Country, joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Maybe one or two more here before we let you go, Coach. And on the girls' side, you mentioned they did a pretty solid job, sixth out of 16 teams there. Madison Galhouse placing first in the 800-meter run. She's just a young pup here. From what I see, she's just a sophomore and doing a really solid year so far for her. Just what have you seen from her and her growth and kind of maturation process and her mental acuity, if that's the right word, staying locked in all the time?
Well, she started training in the winter, and she's had a really good offseason. And, you know, really the key to any sport is have a good off season. Championships are won in the off season, not during the season, because it's how you prepare. So she's had a really good off season. You know, we've changed up her training just a little bit. Actually, my son, who's running in college, kept texting me because we follow each other on Strava and the kids, because now everything kind of gets posted from your Garmin watch. And he's like, she needs to do slower stuff, that longer with less rest. And, because he's kind of a very similar type of an athlete. So we totally changed her training. Well, she's already PR'd and ran a 5:23, which is the second fastest mile in school history for us. And she's ready to really run fast in the 2 mile, which is her best event. And we just haven't had the weather to do that yet. So she's having a fantastic year. Really just can't wait to turn her loose in that 2 mile. But there's a process to that. And we got to have X amount of foot speed, which is speed day on Tuesday. And obviously, we ran pretty good with our speed stuff. I don't think she's ran an open 800 for 2 or 3 years, since maybe seventh grade. So we wanted to focus on the foot speed because we know the endurance is there, and before we run the 2 miles. So, like, she understands the process. one of the hardest working kids I've ever coached, and I couldn't be more proud of her.
So she's got the number two time right now. I'm guessing Macy Hines, number one. Is that a good guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's, of course, now the coach over at NSU.
She's coaching over at NSU, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the stuff Madison's doing is very similar to what, you know, the Northern kids are doing. You know, I mean, she's doing an outstanding job over there. If people are watching, those kids have been, that middle distance crew has been setting the world on fire for Northern, and pretty excited about what she's doing over there.
No doubt. And all of her roots just at West there in Edmonds County. So very, very good stuff. Well, Coach, we'll let you go. Good luck this weekend. Hopefully the weather kind of changes a little bit. You're able to get more meets in and what have you. Appreciate you doing this, and we'll talk to you later on down the down in the spring here and also in the early summer, I'm sure, with the Aquatics coming up here before you know it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure, for sure. Head coach Todd Thorson here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, a friend of the program. Always enjoy visiting with him. And, yeah, you talk about one of the best ever do it. Macy Hines, of course, now over there at Northern State, the distance coach there. So I think that's so cool how you've got a great high school athlete in Macy Hines, and then she took her talents down to, I think she went to USD to start, and then she went to K-State afterwards. Now she's back up at NSU. Just a really cool deal, and we had her in the studio here, what was it, last year?
Yeah, in the fall, right, when before the season was getting started. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Coach Thorson just does a great job with that program, and when you hear him talk, he's talking about attitude and effort, and that's what the kids bring, you know, day after day, the process, you know. You just can't run. You go out there and run a 5:23 mile.
No,
you got to do different things. And you know, that story he was talking about with the training. You know, I thought that was really interesting because, you know, these kids really put their time in. You know, been running all winter long, all fall long, and you know, you got to be in a certain kind of shape, I think, to be running track and field. So. They've done a great job with that program, no doubt, and you know, looking forward to see how they finish up here this season.
Coming up next on the show, we're talking some NFL, pardon me, as the Vikings, of course, they've got draft day here today, as does the entire league. We'll talk with the Purple Insider, Matthew Collar. He'll be joining us next on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Rockin', maybe even some rolling right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online, hubcityradio.com. Encourage you, as always, to download the Hub City Radio app and take us wherever you go. Thirsty Thursday means we've got ourselves coffee in front of us. I do. Matt McClure says no, at least not today. But we also, speaking of ahead of us, we've got ourselves the NFL draft, and we thought no better guest than to bring in a gentleman that we are now having on for the first time, which means we've got to drop in one of these. Ah, yes. That's good stuff. Appreciate that sounder right there. Matthew Collar, he joins us on the phone line from Purple Insider. Matthew, thanks for taking some time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing. It's what an exciting day for Vikings fans, right? I mean, they have not had a quarterback drafted expected in the first round for, what, about 10 years since Teddy Bridgewater. So, wow. You know, this is a real game changer for the franchise.
Good old-fashioned Teddy Two Gloves.
Teddy Two Gloves, yes, you do got to appreciate it. Yeah. But, you know, what's kind of the outlook here for the Vikings? You know, they're sitting in that 11th spot. You've heard rumblings that possibly they could trade up maybe to 5. I've heard J.J. McCarthy's name kind of around Vikings land. You know, what do you think could be going down here tonight?
Yeah, there's about 14 different scenarios, so I could just go through them one by one. You know, I've seen every mock draft have about every different situation for the Vikings and every different potential quarterback. But you know, I think that the number one thing on the Vikings list that they would like to do is trade up with the New England Patriots and draft Drake May. But that takes a couple of things happening. I mean, number one, it would take Jaden Daniels, quarterback from LSU, being drafted number two by Washington, and no one really knows, is Washington going to draft Jaden Daniels number two, or could they draft McCarthy, or could they shock us and draft a defensive end? And like, that franchise is weird, right? Like, you never know what they're going to do. So, if they do not take Drake May, then it opens the door for the Vikings to try to make a trade up. And because they acquired the 23rd overall pick, they can put together a package to trade up that is probably better than anyone else except for maybe the New York Giants. But, of course, it also takes the Patriots wanting to trade down. And, you know, at the number three overall pick, Drake May is a pretty darn good prospect that you could see New England trying to build around. They failed with kind of a middling quarterback in Mac Jones. So they might be looking for somebody who's, you know, a little bit taller, a little bit more freakish, big arm, you know, that Drake May is. And if that doesn't happen, then the door flies open for all sorts of things. I mean, the Vikings could try to trade up to number five to get J.J. McCarthy. They could wait and see if McCarthy drops a little bit farther, trade up a couple spots, see if he gets to 11, and maybe the hype for him was a little too much. And if McCarthy is gone, then they could look at someone like Michael Penix or Bo Nix. And the thing that's really wild about this draft class is that all of these guys are good prospects. I see a lot of fans saying, oh, I don't want this guy or I don't want that guy. The worst prospect of the guys mentioned threw 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions last year and was in the Heisman running. So it's a very unique year, and I think that really played into why the Vikings moved on from Kirk Cousins, because they knew that even in the, you know, worst-case scenario, sitting at 11, there's still going to be a quarterback there who you could see succeeding with Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson.
Matthew Collar joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, the Purple Insider, and you called Mac Jones a middling quarterback. That's like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to Mac Jones. So very, very kind of you for sure. And, you know, if you had the general manager hat on right now, who would you pick? I mean, and I know everyone's making their predictions and who they'd like to see, but, you know, if you had your druthers, you're the general manager for the Vikings, who do you think is the best prospect, and who would you like to get personally?
Yeah, the two options that I like the most, because the thing is that if it's just based on the prospect, I'll take Caleb Williams. Thank you. But, of course, you know, that's not realistic, and every prospect comes along with a price. But I think for the price, Drake May would be worth it, because the ceiling on Drake May is extremely high, and you're putting him in a situation with Kevin O'Connell where you know that he's going to get the best coaching that any quarterback is going to have here in the best situation to succeed. So even though there are some potential downsides to his game, I think he is a phenomenal prospect. He could be a Matthew Stafford to Kevin O'Connell like O'Connell had in Los Angeles. It's going to take a couple of years probably, but he has that ceiling of where you talk about you can go into a game and have a chance to win every single week. Now, Michael Penix is the other guy that I really like. Now, I have no idea about his medicals. Nobody else does. The guy's had, you know, knee surgery, shoulder surgeries, and that's tough to wrap your head around. But the arm talent that Michael Penix possesses and the fact that he took a Washington team that for my entire life has just been a middling program all the way to the national championship, I thought was just extremely impressive. This is a guy who they just put the entire offense on, and he stood back there and swung the football around, which actually kind of reminds me of Kevin O'Connell's offense. He doesn't like to run very much. He likes his quarterback back there operating the entire, you know, being the head of the snake, not just sort of part of the operation. So those would be my two picks. What Kevin O'Connell thinks, I don't even know if he's told his wife. I mean, I don't think any of us really know how he would rank these quarterback options. But that's how I would.
And, you know, would you think like one of these guys, like whether it's a Drake May or a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix, do you think they would be one of these guys that would play week one? Or do you think they'd come in maybe possibly, you know, later in the season? Would they sit a year with Sam Darnold? What do you think about that?
Very much depends on the guy. Michael Penix is older. He's got a lot more experience, a lot more footballs thrown under his belt. So, you know, he might be a guy who comes in right away and is able to win the training camp battle with Sam Darnold and play. But if you're talking about Drake May, if you're talking about J.J. McCarthy, I mean, you know, if you give up 3 first-round draft picks for Drake May, I think people are going to want to see him week one. But, the Packers show us, and so did Patrick Mahomes, that not playing someone week one doesn't destroy their career. In fact, it probably helps them. And they paid $10 million for Sam Darnold. So I think that it was part of their entire plan to have the option to not have to force that quarterback in. And I even remember the first training camp of Kirk Cousins with Kevin O'Connell, and there were some frustrations in learning the offense. It's intricate. It's complicated. So I have no problem with any of these guys sitting. I know that fans will be anxious. I'm sure the owners will be sitting up in their box watching Sam Darnold throw interceptions and want that quarterback to get in there. But, I mean, for all of these quarterbacks, we just have to kind of preach patience a little bit. If it's J.J. McCarthy, one of the younger prospects, he's thrown about half as many passes in his career as somebody like Michael Penix. So, you know, if it's, especially if it's him, he should probably sit the entire first year. But if you're talking about a 23, 24-year-old like Michael Penix, he should be able to play right away. So it kind of just depends on the situation.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were talking about in one of our first segments today, is whoever the Vikings choose at quarterback, likely, unless they do something completely off the map, was they start 2-4, Sam Darnold looks pretty crummy, and it's like you start to hear those grumblings. So have to wait and see how that all plays out. Matthew Collar joining us here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Now, in the offseason, of course, the Packers, they let their running back go, and Aaron Jones, you join him alongside with Justin Jefferson, arguably the best wide receiver in football, and looks like whoever the Vikings draft, in theory, is going into a pretty loaded offense too, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if you go through, let's just say that they do trade up into the top five, go through all the top five quarterbacks who have been drafted and find me a better situation than this. I went through it and couldn't find one. Maybe you could look at year two of Joe Burrow when they got Ja'Marr Chase and they had Joe Mixon and so forth, but they still didn't even have a good offensive line.
Yeah.
And the Vikings do not have a great offensive line at the moment, but they do have two excellent tackles, which, you know, is a great starting point for them. Having the running game, I think Aaron Jones was an extremely important signing. And not just that, but their screen game, their short passing to the running backs was absolutely miserable last year. And that's something Aaron Jones has really thrived in. You just cannot overstate, though, what Justin Jefferson does for a quarterback. I mean, the only way I could describe it is that he got 400 yards a game for Nick Mullins, throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson every play. I mean, if Nick Mullins, this is career backup who wins about one every four games that he starts, if that guy could put up 400-yard performances and keep a team in the game with the Lions a couple times, then, yeah, your rookie quarterback is in a great spot. And I also think we can't, you know, I mean, we have to look at Kirk Cousins' performances, too, the last few years and say, you know, how much even was that Justin Jefferson keeping Kirk Cousins young a little bit there for the last few seasons? So, I mean, I think anybody who comes in is going to have this security blanket of knowing that there is nobody who is more uncoverable, more explosive. I mean, there's just anything you want to do with Justin Jefferson. But the thing is that Kevin O'Connell also knows that, and he doesn't make it simple for Justin Jefferson because he can't. You know, they're going to double team him. They're going to put, you know, extra coverage rolling his way on every play. So there has to be creativity there. There has to be checks, changes, and reads and things like that that are intricate at the line of scrimmage, which does require the quarterback to fully understand his offense before he's ready. But overall, you really could not ask for a more complete offense for a player to join.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that take there. I think, you know, if you bring in a guy, you know, like a J.J. McCarthy, you know, that maybe needs to sit a year, you know, he's got the weapons around him that can make him maybe succeed. You know, you talked about Justin Jefferson a little bit there. We were talking to start the show. Amon-Ra St. Brown got a big contract. I believe it was $77 million guaranteed. Is that going to be kind of what Justin Jefferson's going to be in that ballpark? Probably a little bit more, right, considering, you know, he's widely known as the best receiver in the league right now.
Yeah, I really have a lot of respect for Amon-Ra St. Brown. He has murdered the Vikings every time he's played them, so he's a terrific receiver. I don't think he's in the echelon of Justin Jefferson.
I would agree.
Because that echelon is like three guys. It's him, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, and there's not too many others. So, yeah, that does set a bar, though, for Justin Jefferson to clear. I was curious if it was fully guaranteed, which is different than some of the guarantees that agents leak out there, because the previous highest fully guaranteed was $56 million to A.J. Brown. And I think that Justin Jefferson really wants to blow that number out of the water. I mean, when it's Jefferson, I look at actually Nick Bosa's contract last year as being what he's going to use as probably – I mean, if we rank all the non-quarterback players, Justin Jefferson, Nick Bosa are probably up there, top five. And I think that's where he wants to go. So it's going to be a shocking number for people, I'm sure. But you also have to consider that you're going to have a rookie quarterback contract. They cleared out all the older guys' contracts. They've gotten rid of all those void years and those cap penalties and stuff. So even though they will probably pay him, I'm thinking it's $32 to $34 million per year for Justin Jefferson. And again, I know that's going to freak people out a little bit, but he's that valuable. to the operation and to winning in the future with this rookie quarterback. So, but I think that Amon Ross St. Brown getting that contract sort of set the bar of, all right, how it's not whether Justin Jefferson clears it, it's how much he clears it by. And I'm thinking it will be a fairly significant amount.
And, of course, don't forget, you've got the cap raising anyway. So you're going to see more and more of these bloated contracts going forward for sure there. So be very curious to see who the Vikings go with tonight. Watch them draft a defensive tackle, and this entire conversation is null and void. So, no, I don't see that happening, but quarterback for sure. And I'll be very curious to see who that is. Matthew Collar, you can find him, on the X there. Matthew Collar, that's C-O-L-L-E-R. Thanks for popping in the studio here and joining us for the first time. And I got to give this one more sounder here, just because it is draft day. You know, first time visit. Appreciate you doing this, and thanks again.
All right, thanks guys for having me.
You got it. Our pleasure for sure. Matthew Collar here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Couple of Matthews and one Tukes.
Yeah, no, and yeah, knows what he's talking about when it comes to these Minnesota Vikings. And you know, he made some really great points. And you made a good point too, Tukes. Like, this is the best situation that a rookie quarterback could come into. You know, if you're going to the Commanders, you're going to a Patriots, like Drake May going to the Patriots. What do they got around them?
Mm-hmm.
Here you got Jefferson, you got Hockenson, you got Jones, you got an okay offensive line. You got a good quarterback. Like he mentioned, Nick Mullins, mm-hmm. The guy threw for 400 yards a couple games. I know he threw about three or four picks at a couple, but this guy did sling the football around. So I think that's something that, you know, if you get drafted, if one of these guys get drafted to the Vikings, I think they got to be pretty excited with what they have in place already.
And you also have one of the best, I think, play callers and quarterback whispers in Kevin O'Connell, too. That probably sweetens the pot, too. Coming up next on the show, we'll wrap up this Thursday installment of The Hub. Wrapping up our Thursday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, our thanks to Todd Thorson and Matthew Collar joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple of really good guests here today, huh?
Yeah, a lot of fun. A lot of fun talking some track and field and seeing how their program's been going. And Collar, a new friend of the program, so happy we did that.
No doubt. Twins go for the sweep today, 12-10 for your first pitch, Fox Sports Aberdeen. The North American Hockey League, they've got a new team next year. How about the Mallards of Minnesota? They'll be joining the Central Division along with the Aberdeen Wings there, of course.
Yeah, really good. I like to see that. Now you got eight teams in the Central Division. I think that makes it a little bit more fun, you know, for playoff stuff and mm-hmm. things of that nature. And, you know, you look at the NAHL, there's a lot of divisions that have about eight teams in it.
Nice way to even things out there. And in College Notes, Northern, they split with Minot winning 18-8 yesterday. Jack Wiedner with a Grand Slam home run. We're back at it tomorrow. I'm flying solo. Matt's flying today.